This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. The number of drownings in the Great Lakes this year is on pace to break last year's record. The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project reports 51 people have drowned in the lakes so far in 2019. 27 of those have been in Lake Michigan, compared to 15 at this time last year. The Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium works to educate people about the dangers of the Great Lakes. The group's director, Jamie Ratcliffe, says he knows the risks well. Ratcliffe says years ago he had to be rescued when caught in rip currents.
I've been going up north to the Sleeping Bear Dunes area my whole life and never had an incident, hadn't heard of rip currents. I was completely oblivious to it. So that's why I formed this Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, to bring together all these people who are passionate about it and know these things.
Ratcliffe says there's a misconception that since it's a lake and not an ocean, there's no risk of drowning.
I just thought that everything was fine. It was a bright, sunshiny day. There were 3 and 4 foot waves, but they just looked like fun. And the next thing you know, you're being pulled out into the lake because these rip currents can form suddenly and they move swiftly and you can't fight the force of them. There are other types of dangerous currents as well, but the rip currents, of course, are the most famous. Yet a lot of people don't know that they even exist on the Great Lakes.
And do people overestimate their ability to handle those? Do they think, well, I'm a good swimmer? Maybe even they, you know, were a competitive swimmer at one time and think whatever's out there and it's just Lake Michigan, it's not the ocean, I'll be able to handle it.
Absolutely true. Males in particular, we tend to overestimate our abilities. We all think we're above average swimmers and pretty much everything else. And you know, even if you're a marathon runner, you don't just suddenly go and run a marathon. You train for it, you're ready for it, you prepare. Same thing if you get caught in a rip current. It's like a treadmill. Even if you're a good swimmer, you think you can fight it, and you just can't. And even if you know what to do, which we recommend flip, float, and follow, which I can go into, the waves can just tear you down, just wear you out so quickly. And you think you have time to get back to shore, and you may not. So our number one recommendation, I'll just say right up front, is to wear a life jacket when you're in or around the water, especially the Great Lakes, because things can happen that you don't expect. Everyone thinks drowning will happen to someone else. They see these articles, they hear these interviews, and they think, oh, yeah, that's terrible, but that would never happen to me because I would never do that, when in fact nobody thinks that, and yet it's happened to almost 800 people in the Great Lakes this decade alone.
So wear a life jacket. Even if someone is a strong swimmer, you think they should have a life jacket when they go out into the Great Lakes?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you don't know what to expect. You don't put on your seatbelt as you're about to crash or your bike helmet as you're about to fall. So don't expect that you'll be able to find and put on your life jacket as you're about to drown.
Ratcliffe says a swimmer who is in trouble needs to remember flip, float, and follow.
Flip over onto your back. You can avoid inhaling water. You can control your panic. And you can just start to get your wits about you and develop a plan. And the first thing is, don't try to go back towards the shore directly. Swim to the side or float to the side, because then you can get out of the grip of the rip current that's pushing you out into the lake. Float on your back. As long as you're floating, you're alive, you're controlling your panic, you're controlling your breathing, you're conserving energy. You can yell for help, which is ultimately what saved me. I swallowed my male pride and yelled for help early on, even though I, you know, kind of thought I could probably get out of this. But what I learned later is the closer you get to drowning, the more difficult it is or impossible it is to actually yell, because all you can do is gasp for air. So fortunately, I yelled for help. Someone heard me, and even though I didn't know they were on the way because I couldn't see over the big waves or hear over the crashing waves and wind, they got to me at the last second. So yell for help. If you try to wave, you're bound to sink, but maybe wave just quickly, but then continue to float and tread water. And then follow the path of least resistance back to the shore. And that might mean just letting the current take you out a little bit and then over to the side. Or if you can, try to swim to the side and come diagonally back towards the shore.
We have heard stories over the years of people who have drowned while trying to save others from drowning. If you find yourself in the position of seeing that somebody is in distress out there, what are the right things to do?
Yeah, the three things we talk about are how to avoid drowning by knowing before you go, checking the forecast and warnings and so on. escaping, like I just talked about with slip, float, and follow and yelling for help. And then the other main thing is to how to safely save others. And what happens so frequently is someone gets in distress in the water, often a young child. Parents go running out after them with no flotation, and the would-be rescuer ends up becoming the victim or another victim. So we recommend save yourself first, just like on the plane where they say to put your mask, your oxygen mask on first. Find some flotation for yourself first. If you can throw it from the shore or from a pier, that's even better. But if you have to go out, grab some kind of flotation, even a cooler. Just look, scan the beach really quickly. Driftwood, soccer ball, anything you can find. Ideally, you know, a kayak or a boogie board or you know, some other approved Coast Guard approved flotation device, but anything that floats will work. Keep that between you and the person drowning, because they're just going to lunge on you because they're panicked and in shock, and then help them back to shore. But save yourself first, or you end up having more victims.
You have called drownings a neglected public safety issue. Why do you think it hasn't gotten more attention?
That's a great question. I mean, that's the Centers for Disease Control called it a neglected public health issue, and we certainly agree. I mean, you have fire drills in the schools every year, and you have tornado drills, and you have active shooter drills now, and even earthquake drills in some in some Great Lakes states, believe it or not. But there isn't a regular annual water safety training, and we have people that do that. There's members of our consortium. The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project has fantastic training for kids and people of all ages. And if everybody knew what the members of our organization know, we could virtually eliminate drownings. I mean, there's more than 100 a year on average, and all of them are preventable with knowing how to swim and knowing some basic things about how to avoid, escape, and safely save others.
Jamie Ratcliff, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Jamie Ratcliff is president and executive director of the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium. Links with more information can be found at WMUK.org. At our website, you can also find the extended version of the interview for WMUK's West Southwest podcast. Ratcliff says many beaches don't have lifeguards because local governments think it makes them vulnerable to a lawsuit. But he says signs saying no lifeguard on duty don't save lives and don't guarantee staying out of court.
You can get sued for not doing anything. And wouldn't, if you're going to get sued, and anybody can get sued for anything, it's a matter of whether you win or not, but wouldn't you rather get sued for trying to help than for doing nothing?
You can also find WMUK's West Southwest podcast through the WMUK app. And you can subscribe through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.